Your Honors, depending on your watch, let me be either the last person to say good morning or the first person to say good afternoon. Michael W. Bosch on behalf of Donald Cochran. A little less than 2 years ago, in July and August of 2006, Donald Cochran was in his own little corner of the world, in his living room, in his house in central Indiana, acting out his high-tech fantasies. Today he's doing 10 years. He went to trial on this case, and as Judge Simon said in his ruling on our post-trial motion for acquittal, unlike most criminal trials, there were no disputes to the facts in this case. He did what he did. He sat in his living room in front of his webcam on more than one occasion before a person running a sting or involved in a sting and masturbated. All this, the government says, was in violation of 18 U.S.C. 2422B. The problem, and this is a problem that Judge Simon agonized over also, and that it took him over 7 months to rule on our motion, and I know that it wasn't sitting on his back credenza because his staff called me more than once saying Judge Simon wants to make sure he gets this right, so he's taking all of his time, was this a violation of the statute? That was our argument at trial. That's still our argument today. Four elements the government has to prove, Your Honors. Use of a facility of interstate commerce. Concede that. To knowingly persuade, induce, entice, or coerce someone. Now, Judge Simon found that Cochran did that. I will not concede it at this point in time, but I still think it makes little difference. Any individual under the age of 18. Now, Kerry Costello was over 18. We're not arguing that at some point in time she told Cochran in one of the internet chats that she was 13. So that part of the statute is complied with. To engage in any sexual activity for which any person can be charged with a criminal offense. And this is where we get right down to the real nitty-gritty. Judge Simon called it awkward. The government says that he violated IC 3542-45C3, which is a D-felony in the state of Indiana, by the way, punishable for a maximum of a term of 3 years. Vicarious sexual gratification is that statute. So what the government said or is saying, Mr. Benson and I went through this at trial, we're going to go through it again today, was that merely by proving to the jury's satisfaction that he was guilty of vicarious sexual gratification, that was all they needed to do to prove that he was guilty of 2422B. We're here saying even if he was guilty of committing that Indiana offense, that does not necessarily make him guilty of the federal offense. Apparently, and this is what Judge Simon said, he said this is awkward, but it's a crime to induce or persuade a minor to engage in the sexual activity of fondling in the presence of a minor. I think what he was saying here is the jury found that the alleged person under 18 was engaging in a sexual activity by watching Cochran engage in a sexual activity. By the way, I've looked at that Indiana statute looking for annotations, which might help me somewhat in my argument today. The only annotation I find there is this case in Judge Simon's decision. But in surveying, and that's what we did in our brief in the post-trial motion, and that's what we did here, we essentially surveyed the cases that were out there. As Judge Simon said, you know, there is something to be said for the fact that Cochran had to have known what he was doing was illegal, because in all the other cases, someone is trying to meet a minor, goes to meet a minor, or at least talks about meeting the minor in their chat. In all of the cases, the older person talks about having sex with the minor, or talks about what he's going to do to her when they get together, and they at least talk about a meeting. Here, Cochran, there's no evidence that he ever intended to leave his living room.
What about where he's trying to, he's teaching her how to get around the virus software and in order to view the webcam? And,
because I believe what he was doing was he said he wanted to see what she really looked like. You have to remember the chat room.
For his benefit, you're saying?
Yes. The chat room he was in, you had to be 18 to be there. That photograph of her on the internet was someone over 18. He was well into meeting and chatting with her on at least the second or third occasion before she identified herself as being 13. This is an older man acting on his fantasies in fantasy land, the internet. In any event, you're being asked, and I think what Judge Simon did was he said, yes, a reasonable jury can find that her watching him engage in his own sexual activity can be a sexual activity. He said, I'm going to let the jury find that. I'm going to find that that's reasonable. But now, here we're here today, where you have the opportunity to say, boy, that's a huge stretch. He didn't try and meet her. He didn't try and do anything to her. He didn't try and convince her to do anything. He simply sat there, as reprehensible as it may be, he underwent several acts of what I call spontaneous masturbation. And that's all he did. And I think in our brief we conceded that if that, in fact, is a sexual activity, he's probably guilty and the trial court should be upheld. But once again, it's just a huge stretch, Your Honors. This is, in my opinion, we're talking about thought police now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bosch. Mr. Benson.
May it please the court, counsel. On the bottom of page 12 of the defendant's brief, he states that the government must prove that Cochran, using the internet, acted with a specific intent to persuade, induce, entice, or coerce Ashley, that was the name being used by the undercover officer, into watching him fondle himself over the webcam. That's what he says we had to prove to sustain this charge. And that is exactly what the government did prove. The case law is clear that the sexual activity that the statute intends to reach can be either sexual activity prohibited by federal law or prohibited by state law. And in this case, the government relied on the Indiana vicarious gratification statute, alleging that Cochran used the internet to violate that statute. And that statute plainly states that a person 18 years of age or older who knowingly or intentionally touches or fondles the person's own body in the presence of a child less than 14 years of age with the intent to arouse or satisfy the sexual desires of the child or the older person violates that section. And in this case, the crime was charged as an attempt because it was an undercover officer, and that's required. And so what did Cochran do? Well, he went on the internet. It wasn't his personal fantasy land. I know counsel, and I've tried, I think, 10 of these cases already. They want to believe that the internet is the wild, wild west, and you can say or do anything you want. You simply can't. And this is one of the things that you can't do because the federal law prohibits it. You can't send threats to anyone over the internet and say, I'm just pretending. Counsel's comment that he was just an older man fantasizing in his living room really isn't a legal challenge to the statute. It's a factual challenge to the jury's finding, but that's not what the brief addresses. The brief addresses whether or not there was sufficient evidence to persuade, induce, entice, or coerce Ashley, or the undercover officer, into engaging in the sexual activity. Well, as in the Rule 29 motion that we filed and litigated, you know, the word persuade, induce, and entice is very, very broad. And I think that was exactly Congress's intent when they used that language. Persuade, as American Heritage Dictionary says, to induce to undertake a course of action. Induce, same dictionary. To lead or move as to a cause of action by influence or persuasion. Entice, to attract by arousing hope or desire. That is exactly what Mr. Cochran was doing every time he chose to talk to Ashley, thinking she was under the age of 14, and every time he decided to masturbate in front of her on that webcam. Initially, Mr. Cochran had to make the decision to let the undercover officer see what he was doing. The testimony at trial, and as maybe some of you know, is that in order to have someone view your webcam, if I have a camera on my computer and I'm Mr. Cochran and I want you to watch, you can't see me unless I invite you. And that means sending you an invitation through instant message. Hey, Cochran had to take that initial action. And then the undercover officer had to respond yes. There is no other way that this undercover officer could have viewed what happened unless the defendant invited.
With regard to the Indiana law, where it says in the presence of a child less than 14, in the presence is now on webcam or on video?
That position was not challenged at trial. I did review that issue before trial, and I believe it absolutely would count. Viewing through the webcam. And if the court thinks that is of importance, since it was not raised in the defendant's brief, I would ask permission to submit a supplemental brief on that issue, because it was not argued at the trial court level.
If it's not argued, if it's not challenged, then I suppose that's...
Okay. And in this case, and that's why I made the webcam part of the record in this case and had it sent up here. And the government's brief tracks what is being said as well as what the defendant is doing at the same time. And we are all aware that words as well as actions can be used to persuade or entice somebody. It's simply not words. People can be enticed by other people's actions, especially in the area of arousing another person's sexual desires. I guess that's why there's strip joints make lots of money. Because viewing that, there's no words that are conveyed, arouses some people's sexual desires. And that's what Mr. Cochran was doing at the same time he was talking. And the government's brief attempted, although it's quite difficult, to link the words that are being said at the very time Mr. Cochran is engaging in certain conduct. To give you an example, on at least three occasions, I believe, the undercover was going to end the conversation and said, "I have to get going." Mr. Cochran then immediately exposed himself and masturbated to continue the conversation and to further engage in the activity that he wanted to. The statute itself, 2422B, and I think the brief accurately addressed this, the wording of it was actually changed. And you know, there's a lot of different terms involving sexual conduct, illicit sexual conduct, a sexual act that is used throughout the code. But this statute in particular, I believe it was in 1998, changed the language from persuade, induce, entice to engage in a person under the age of 18 to engage in a sexual act in violation of law. It changed it to sexual activity in violation of state law. Clearly a broader intent. I don't know how someone could construe what Mr. Cochran was doing as anything other than sexual activity. What's also interesting, when Mr. Cochran was arrested, he gave a videotaped statement to members of the United States Secret Service who were investigating this. And that was played for the jury. And during the course of that confession, he indicated that, and let me quote exactly, he admitted that he did this, meaning the masturbation, because he thought Ashley enjoyed it and because he, Cochran, thought it excited her. He also stated that it aroused him. He further stated that it excites you when someone likes what you're doing or likes what you got. Clearly, that's exactly what he was meaning to do by the actions he engaged in. Over and over and over again. The defendant tried to justify it in his confession that he claimed that he was just engaging in sexual education class for Ashley, the 13-year-old, and that he was acting like a father figure and preparing Ashley for what would happen in the future, clearly contradicting what his words were at the time he was engaging in these chats. He told Ashley how sweet she was, how nice she was. Do you like what you see? Clearly, all of these words were an attempt to get her to continue to engage in the ongoing sexual conduct that this defendant was performing for her. If he wasn't getting any sexual satisfaction out of this or attempting to arouse her, then why didn't he just do it without the webcam? Counsel made a statement in the brief that the judge sort of got overwhelmed with this and just got caught up in it, and that's the reason for his finding on the directed verdict motion. I think the fact that it took so long shows how carefully considered it. It's an incredibly well-written opinion in the government's consideration. And also, you know, the judge directed the government out on one of the Indiana statutes we were relying on. Hard to say that he got swept up in the moment when he made that conscious decision. Additionally, the judge also chose to keep out 404B evidence, in which the defendant was chatting with another underage minor and directing her to go view sites of other naked males. So hard to say the government sort of got caught up in all the factual or just in the webcam and all the evidence just got swept away in that. Judges, given the nature of the defendant's conduct on the webcam, his detailed chats, the internet chat conversations that the jury saw and the judge reviewed, and the fact that he engaged in this conduct with his 4-year-old child in the very room where he was doing this, and the fact that the evidence seized from his computer, although not admitted at trial, was relevant for sentencing, showed that he had engaged in these kind of chats with other minor children, the government believed that it properly exercised its discretion in choosing to charge this statute, and the court properly upheld the use of this statute based upon the facts of this case, and we ask you to uphold the court's finding in this case. Thank you very much.
Mr. Benson, Mr. Bosch.
Your Honors, this was the same argument we had at trial, and it's the same argument we're going to continue to have until we get some narrow ruling on it. 2423F defines sexual conduct. 2246 defines the sexual act. I'll take either of those for this one because it doesn't define sexual activity. Well, let's say for a moment Mr. Benson's absolutely right. Mr. Cochran aroused himself. Let's assume that he's right. That's not what 2422B prohibits. It prohibits arousing the minor. We had that argument at trial, too, and that's why we're here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bosch. Thanks to both counsel. Mr. Bosch, additional thanks for accepting the appointment in this case. The case is taken under advisement, and the court will stand in recess.